This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine you buy a set of like highly sophisticated imported power tools to build your company's new headquarters.
Okay, sounds reasonable enough.
Right, but then a few weeks into construction, your security team realizes that the drills and the saws are secretly taking photographs of your architectural blueprints, and you know, they're transmitting them back to the overseas manufacturer.
Yeah, you would immediately drop those tools, halt all the construction, and probably never trust that vendor again.
Exactly. And that exact level of paranoia is, well, it's no longer a hypothetical scenario. It is actively tearing the global AI ecosystem apart. So welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are unpacking a really comprehensive July 2026 intelligence report. This was provided to us by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim. And we're looking at how the borderless, like the open source ocean of artificial intelligence, is rapidly evaporating.
Right, and completely shifting.
Yeah, and how the entire technology stack, I mean, from the literal code you write to the silicon rendering it, is aggressively acquiring a nationality.
And, you know, I should jump in here real quick just to set the stage, because the stack of sources we are working from today deals really heavily with U.S.-China relations, high-stakes trade wars, and national security policies. So our mission today is purely analytical.
Absolutely.
We are just looking at raw data and geopolitical maneuvers. Our goal isn't to, like, endorse the policies of Washington or Beijing. We just want to impartially map out the mechanics of this decoupling so you, the listener, can understand exactly where this whole industry is heading.
Right. We're just reading the map here. And by the end of our time together today, you're going to understand why a major text editor just got, like, permanently banned by a tech giant.
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah. And how the physical yield limits of semiconductor manufacturing are forcing AI companies to invent surge pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And why the cost of your future compute is currently being decided by a $1 trillion geopolitical tug of war that is centered right in South Korea.
It's a lot to cover.
It is. So let's start right at the foundation, which is the software layer. Because banning a physical microchip at a border is one thing, right? But we are now seeing these corporate spats just metastasize into an actual software cold war.
Right. It's moving from hardware to the code itself.
Exactly. So today, Alibaba initiated a total mandatory ban on Anthropic's Claude code for all of their developers. They are forcing an immediate switch to their proprietary in-house tool, which is called Coder.
And the catalyst for that ban, it really comes down to a fundamental breakdown in trust at the enterprise level. Because security researchers analyzed Claude Code version 2.1.91, which was deployed back in April, and they allegedly uncovered a backdoor.
Wow, really? A backdoor and a coding assistant?
Yeah. According to the report provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, the software wasn't just, you know, assisting with code generation. It was actually running time zone checks. It was executing proxy searches that were specifically targeting Chinese corporate IP addresses. And, maybe worst of all, systematically tagging and transmitting environmental data back to the host servers.
See, in a corporate networking environment, tagging environmental data isn't just some, like, benign diagnostic ping. That means the tool is actively mapping the internal network topology of the company it's operating inside of.
Exactly.
If you are Alibaba and you're trying to build proprietary foundational models, you absolutely cannot have your primary coding assistant quietly surveying your internal infrastructure.
Right. And that profound suspicion, it is entirely mutual. Anthropic's retaliation was basically immediate. And it escalated the issue straight to the legislative level in the U.S.
Right. They went to Congress.
Yeah. They presented logs to the U.S. Senate Banking Committee. And these logs showed that 25,000 accounts linked to Alibaba's Quen Lab made 28.8 million distillation attempts in just a few weeks.
Okay, wait. Let's unpack that for a second. For anyone building on these APIs, you know that 28.8 million distillation queries, that's not a research experiment. That is an industrial scale extraction effort.
Pure extraction.
Yeah.
They were essentially using Claude's superior reasoning capabilities to synthetically generate millions of data pairs just to fine-tune their own smaller models. I mean, it's an automated, highly aggressive method of pirating the foundational logic of a rival model without, you know, paying the billions in R&D required to develop it from scratch.
Right. And that industrial extraction has triggered a massive policy reflex. The sources indicate that China's Ministry of Commerce has spent the last month holding these, like, closed-door meetings with Alibaba, ByteDance, and Zipu AI.
Okay.
And the agenda is limiting foreign access to advanced Chinese AI models. And the really critical pivot here is that these discussions explicitly include open weight models.
Okay, that is huge. Because if the Ministry of Commerce actually pulls the trigger on restricting open weight exports, that fundamentally breaks the current open source pipeline.
It shatters it.
Yeah. I mean, models like Alibaba's Qwen, ByteDance's Doubao, and Zipu's GLM 5.2, they aren't just popular. They are structurally load-bearing for the global developer community right now.
They absolutely are.
They currently dominate global downloads on Hugging Face. And they have actually overtaken American models in token share on OpenWriter. The massive global footprint of Chinese AI was achieved specifically because they open source highly capable weights while, you know, Western labs locked theirs behind enterprise APIs.
Yeah, and the leverage they've gained through that open source dominance is immense. But the report notes there are now serious proposals to classify the leaking or unauthorized deployment of these proprietary architectures as a literal national security crime.
Wow.
Yeah, right alongside restricting foreign capital and domestic AI firms. So if you are a developer listening to this and you rely on GLM 5.2 for your backend, you really need to audit your supply continuity immediately.
Right, because relying on an open source license does not immunize your product roadmap from a geopolitical embargo.
Exactly. But banning software is only half the battle here, because you can mandate your engineers use a proprietary tool like Coder, and you can lock down your open weight models, but none of that software runs without the physical hardware.
Oh, right, the silicon.
Yeah. That paranoia over software backdoors and API access has directly infected the hardware supply chain. It's forcing this frantic scramble for silicon independence.
Let's talk about that hardware, because the case study the report provides here is just staggering to me. Metrowan just launched Longcat 2.0. This is a 1.6 trillion parameter model, and it's utilizing a really highly complex mixture of experts architecture.
A massive model.
Massive. And they achieved the entire pipeline from pre-training to daily inference without a single Western microchip. They trained it entirely on a cluster of 50,000 Huawei Ascend 9-10-10C chips.
Which is just wild to think about.
It is, because running a 1.6 trillion parameter MoE model requires a phenomenal amount of node-to-node communication. If they manage to cluster 50,000 Ascend chips and actually overcome the networking bottlenecks that usually plague, you know, non-NVIDIA hardware, that is a massive engineering leap.
It really is.
But okay, I have to push back a little on the broader timeline of complete hardware independence, especially regarding the newer foundry partnerships mentioned in the report, because DeepSeek is reportedly trying to bypass both NVIDIA and Huawei by partnering with SMIC to fabricate their own custom 7-nanometer inference chips.
That is the current initiative, yes.
I don't buy that they can scale that economically. We know the physics here. SMIC's 7-nanometer process yields are notoriously problematic compared to, say, TSMC.
Right, the defect rate is high.
Exactly. They are essentially throwing away a huge percentage of their silicon on the fab floor due to defects. The economics of fabricating your own custom silicon on a high-defect pipeline to run massive models, it just doesn't pencil out in the short term. So how are they surviving the compute bottleneck right now while they wait for SMIC to figure out their yield issues?
Well, you've hit on the exact pressure point. And the workaround is brilliant, because they aren't solving it with hardware physics. They're solving it with economics.
Hello.
Yeah. So DeepSeek is launching their V4 model mid-July, and they're introducing a dynamic peak and off-peak API pricing structure.
Wait, like surge pricing, but for compute?
Exactly like that. During Beijing business hours, the API costs 12 yuan per million tokens. But if developers run their compute off-peak, like during the night shift, the price drops to 6 yuan. They are literally cutting the cost of intelligence in half just to manipulate the demand curve.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. If your foundry yields are low and you literally do not have enough physical chips to handle massive simultaneous daytime spikes, you use pricing to force the market to load balance for you.
Yep.
You incentivize enterprise clients to schedule their heavy, non-urgent workloads like massive batch processing, synthetic data generation, or log analysis while the rest of the country sleeps. It maximizes the utilization rate of the limited silicon they actually do possess.
It is a textbook adaptation under extreme constraint. But you know, while the U.S. and China are building these separate self-sustaining tech trees, the collateral damage and also the immense financial opportunity lands on the countries caught in the middle.
Oh, absolutely.
And former lawmaker Kung Jin Kim's commentary perfectly illustrates this dynamic by pointing us toward the South Korean dilemma.
Right, because South Korea is arguably the most critical geopolitical fault line in the AI hardware space right now. Just look at what SK Hynix did today on the NASDAQ. They launched a massive $29.4 billion American depository receipt listing under the ticker SKHY.
That is just a huge amount of capital.
It's the largest ADR listing for a foreign company in history, eclipsed only by the total private valuation of SpaceX.
And the scale of that capital influx? It's completely necessary because of what SK Hynix controls. They hold roughly 50 to 70% of the global high bandwidth memory market.
Which is basically everything right now.
Exactly. Modern AI data centers are bottlenecked by memory bandwidth just as much as raw compute. You can have all the GPUs in the world, but if you can't feed the data to the processor fast enough, the system just chokes. SK Hynix is building the pipes.
And this NASDAQ listing gives them unprecedented direct access to U.S. capital. And they are funneling that straight into their Yongin semiconductor cluster and purchasing next-generation ASML lithography equipment.
They're digging in.
Yeah, they are anchoring themselves deeply into the Western financial ecosystem. But that gravity has local consequences. Because Samsung Electronics just posted a record 89.4 trillion won operating profit for Q2. That is a staggering 19 times increase year over year. Yet the report notes Samsung stock actually dropped almost 7%.
Yeah, that's because the SK Hynix listing essentially acted as a financial vacuum.
Oh, interesting.
It absorbed so much global and domestic market capital that it literally sucked the oxygen out of the room for Samsung, despite their record profits. It just demonstrates how hyper-focused and utterly ruthless the market is regarding pure AI infrastructure plays. Investors aren't looking at legacy electronics anymore. They are strictly evaluating who holds the keys to the AI supply chain.
Right. And if you are out there trying to build an AI startup or scale a data center anywhere in the world, you should care deeply about this. South Korea's capital drain dictates your future server costs. If SK Hynix is absorbing billions to keep up with Western demand, memory prices fluctuate and your cloud compute bill spikes.
Yep.
But the dilemma that former lawmaker Kun Jin Kim outlines, it isn't just financial. It is a fundamental choice of allegiance.
It really is. South Korea has announced an 800 trillion won domestic investment in AI and semiconductors over the next decade. They are the essential suppliers for the U.S. market. Yet while they secure Western capital, they were simultaneously being courted by aggressive Chinese hardware pricing.
Very aggressive.
Huawei is bringing their Ascend 950DT chip into the Korean market in Q4, and the price disruption is severe.
Yeah, the report states the 950DT is hitting the market at 70,000 yuan. That is less than a third of the cost of an NVIDIA H200. And maybe more importantly, Huawei claims it delivers almost three times the inference performance of NVIDIA's H20 chip, which you have to remember, the H20 is the artificially downgraded hardware NVIDIA is legally allowed to export under U.S. sanctions.
Right. So this is the practical reality of a bifurcated ecosystem. Imagine you are a data center operator in Seoul. Do you procure the highly capable, incredibly cheap Huawei hardware, knowing that integrating Chinese silicon could trigger complex secondary U.S. export sanctions, or maybe alienate your Western clients?
That's a huge risk.
Or do you pay a massive premium for downgraded NVIDIA hardware just to maintain political safety and compatibility with the U.S. stack?
It's an impossible choice. You are basically being pulled apart by the two largest economies on Earth. You provide the memory the West desperately needs, but the East is offering you the compute you need to stay globally competitive at a fraction of the price.
Exactly.
So the compatibility between these two spheres is breaking down at the tool layer, the model layer, and the silicon layer.
And nowhere is that divergence in philosophy more stark than when we look at how AI is actively being deployed into the physical world. While the hardware chess match plays out in data centers and financial markets, the state is aggressively pushing artificial intelligence into physical robotics while simultaneously outlawing it in emotional spaces.
Let's talk about the physical side first, because the sheer scale of the robotic integration happening right now is breathtaking. According to the Intelligence Out of the World AI Conference in Shanghai, China is on track to produce 100,000 humanoid robots this year alone.
That number is wild.
It really is. That is a 600% increase from their 2025 output. We have officially crossed the threshold from R&D into mass commercial manufacturing.
And the corporate milestones in the report, they completely validate that scale. Adjabot just hit 15,000 produced units, basically quadrupling their production speed in just 3 months. And these aren't like general purpose robots doing parlor tricks.
Right.
They have their G2 industrial humanoids, working continuous 100-hour shifts, performing microscopic quality inspection on tablet assembly lines. Unitree Robotics just secured an IPO approval on the STAR market in a record 104 days, pushing toward a $14 billion valuation based on highly profitable, cash flow positive industrial deployments.
They are integrating AI directly into the physical supply chain, and the leaps extend into media generation as well, right? ByteDance just launched their Cadence 2.5 API, which is capable of natively generating 30 seconds of 4K video. And there is a fascinating piece of intelligence here that Hollywood studios are publicly lobbying against this technology while privately utilizing it behind closed doors to cut production costs.
Of course they are.
I mean, the economic utility of the technology is advancing so rapidly that even its most vocal opponents are quietly integrating it.
But this explosive, state-backed growth in physical robotics and industrial media generation is violently contrasted by new regulations managing AI in the social sphere.
Oh, this is the really interesting part.
On July 15th, comprehensive rules go into effect across China managing AI anthropomorphic services. They are strictly regulating AI designed to simulate human behavior.
And the immediate fallout of this regulation is just wild to watch. Today, July 10th, Alibaba completely deactivated the human-like agent features on Qwen. ByteDance is executing the exact same purge with Doubao on the 15th. And they are not simply putting these features behind, like, a warning label.
No, not at all.
Alibaba is permanently deleting the agent configurations and wiping the conversation histories from their servers entirely.
Right, because the incoming regulations mandate strict anti-addiction systems, continuous usage alerts, and instant exit requirements. Most crucially, they enforce an absolute ban on virtual lovers or emotional companion bots for minors.
I really want to highlight the core contradiction here because it reveals exactly how the state views the future of this technology. They are actively mobilizing the supply chain to build 100,000 physical humanoid robots to walk the factory floors, assemble cars, and inspect hardware.
Yep.
But the very second a text-based LLM on your smartphone acts a little too human and attempts to form an emotional bond with you, the government steps in and forces the developer to permanently delete the data.
It is a deliberate, highly engineered contradiction. The state is meticulously guiding AI toward pure, measurable industrial utility. They recently announced a roadmap to deploy 50,000 dedicated 5G and 6G networks, specifically for the industrial internet by 2030.
Oh, wow.
They view AI as critical infrastructure like a power grid or a steel mill.
Right. You don't form a romantic attachment to a steel beam. You use it to build a bridge.
Precisely. They want the intelligence optimizing supply chains and generating tangible economic output. What they view as a profound structural risk is societal emotional dependency.
That makes a lot of sense.
They do not want a population wasting hours engaged in psychological manipulation or simulated relationships with a virtual companion. Treating continuous emotional engagement with a machine as a public health hazard, mandating anti-addiction protocols and instant exit switches, I mean, that is a regulatory framework we will likely see Western lawmakers study very closely in the coming years.
It's basically treating conversational AI like a controlled substance. You are encouraged to use the API to analyze a massive data set, but it is illegal to use it as a synthetic therapist. It is a very clear boundary defining what artificial intelligence is actually for.
And that really brings us to the overarching reality of this intelligence report. The decoupling isn't just about tariffs or microchips. It is a fundamental divergence in how two different hemispheres govern the architecture, economics, and philosophy of intelligence.
We have covered massive ground today. We've gone from enterprise security teams banning Claude code over alleged network mapping to DeepSeek cutting API prices at night just to survive a high-defect silicon pipeline.
All of adaptations.
Yeah, and we've looked at SK Hynix absorbing billions in market capital on the NASDAQ, which is forcing South Korean data centers to choose between cheap Huawei hardware and Western compliance. And we capped it all off with a government rolling out 100,000 industrial robots while aggressively deleting virtual companions from their servers. Lawyer Kingjin Kim's analysis leaves absolutely no room for ambiguity. The era of a unified, borderless technological ocean is definitively over.
The seawalls have been constructed. And I think this leaves you, the listener, with a critical, somewhat unsettling thought to mull over.
What's that?
Well, if the very foundation of artificial intelligence, the proprietary code, the physical hardware, and the underlying foundational models is being locked behind rigid national borders, what happens to the global internet in the coming decade? We're moving toward a future where you don't just need a physical passport to cross a border. Your data might require a digital passport just to interact with an AI trained on the other side of the world.
Wow. If the underlying logic of the internet splits into two distinct incompatible languages, navigating that divide is going to define the next generation of technology. The walls are up, and the ecosystem has a nationality. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, look past the surface of the headlines, and we will see you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.